Moore, would you stand? Worship with us. I love this new song. Victor indeed. Let's sing. You led me out of the desert. You led me out of the desert. Brought me into his streams, river of living water. Turned my bitter into sweet. All my burdens are lifted. He took the shackles off my feet. And there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's joy in the morning, come on, let's sing like it. There is joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. There is life worth living, cause he calls me his own. There's a hallelujah, after sweet victory. Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive set free. Yeah, there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's our deliverer. Sing.
Hey, you are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer, you are my promised land. Hey, you are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. Oh, you are my deliverer, you are my promised land.
Glad you're here. Welcome. Let me be the first one to officially say Merry Christmas. We're going to continue in worship, make famous the name of the one who came to save us. That's why we celebrate. Sing in the bleak.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
go ahead and have a seat.
In this season of Thanksgiving, we praise God for the resources He has blessed us with. We are so grateful for the heart of our people to give and to give generously for the sake of the gospel. Last year, a surplus in our giving as a church family allowed us to give $1 million to the International Mission Board. Our partnership provided the IMB funds to meet the unmet needs in four fast-growing Muslim regions in the world. We may never know this side of heaven, the impact of our gift in the Middle East, Central Asia, West Africa, and South Asia. And it's abundantly clear the need is dire in these regions, where less than 5% of the population has heard the gospel. And as Scripture tells us, how are they to hear without someone preaching? Through the IMB partnership, we have developed an electronic resource library to help hard-to-reach people groups in the Middle East. In Central Asia, 2,000 Bibles and other gospel materials have been distributed to the Afghan people groups. In West Africa, local missionaries have been provided impactful videos to reach Muslim people groups, specifically persecuted women and children. And in South Asia, local missionaries are helping recruit indigenous Christian medical workers to reach various people groups. So, what are our next steps? Pray that our funding will continue to make a difference in these darkest of regions. Continue to support our missions work locally and globally. And pray about giving your best gift today to our annual World Missions offering. Last year, our church family provided nearly $3 million in grants to ministry partners in our communities and on five continents. But our work is not done, as countless people in our neighborhoods and the world have never heard the name Jesus. And as believers, we are commanded by God to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So please, pray about your giving for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. You may give to the World Missions offering by using the offering boxes at the worship center exits, using the giving kiosks in the atrium, by texting WORLD to 74788 for the Plano campus and 55125 for the North campus, visiting prestonwood.org/give, or by mailing a check to Prestonwood Baptist Church, 6801 West Park Boulevard, Plano, Texas, 75093.
I wish you a very good morning here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. I'm Jeremiah Johnson, one of the pastors here. And I want to encourage you to reach in the pew pocket right in front of you. You're going to see there is a special designated envelope for our World Mission offering that we are so excited about as a church family. In fact, last Sunday, our triplets, our children's ministry, we're doing this ministry-wide, our triplets brought their World Mission offering to children's ministry. We're praying for 100% participation this year for our special World Mission offering. Take that, pray about it. I want to encourage you to participate. Missions is so important to the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. 70,000 people a day right now are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. 70,000. And it's because of churches like Prestonwood Baptist Church that partner with the IMB to send out the gospel, especially to many of these persecuted lands. So do what our family's doing in the Johnston home. Take this offering, pray about it, and pray for 100% participation. You know, I wouldn't be here today without World Missions. My grandpa, Alois Huff, was reached by a missionary by the name of Mr. Lukas in Germany, who knocked on his door, led him to Jesus Christ, helped his family get to the United States through Ellis Island. And so when I have the opportunity to sow back into what God's kingdom is doing, I'm reminded very clearly how important the gospel was, even into my own existence. So I want to encourage you to participate with that. We have a great day of worship lined up. I want to welcome all of our guests here who are joining us for either the first time, or if you've been a guest here at Prestonwood Baptist Church for weeks, we want to encourage you to connect with us out at Guest Central today. You can fill out your details in the bulletin right here and just drop that information off into Guest Central so that we can appropriately follow up with your family, stay in touch with you all, let you know the great things that are happening at Prestonwood Baptist Church. I also want to encourage you, those of you who are joining us online, welcome. We're excited to have people that worship with us from around the world here at Prestonwood as well. You can text the word CONNECT to 74788. That's the word connect. And you can also let us know your details. Now you might say, why is that so important, Jeremiah? Last Sunday, we had an amazing fellowship of comfort service. Our pastor mentioned it as he gave the benediction of our service. Last Sunday, our pastors joined in the fireside room and then in the chapel. And do you know what we did? We had a special time of prayer and candle lighting for everyone in the church who had lost someone over the last year. And that's why you need your church, ladies and gentlemen. We all believe together, we struggle together, we suffer together, and that's why we're connecting with us. We don't want you to do your faith alone or in isolation. Connect with us so that we can be there for you in those moments when you need it. It's a blessing to do that as a church family. We had a great lighting of the tree to kick off Christmas season, didn't we? Wasn't that amazing this week to gather on Monday? I was the pastor of the craft area. You need no prerequisites to be the pastor of the craft area. We gave out 3,000, let me just say this, temporary tattoos that say rejoice on them. It was a great opportunity to minister to families. I was too slow in the picture-taking line, so I was relieved from duty, and I was then held a sign. It was a great experience. It's so wonderful to have Christmas here at Prestonwood, and you're part of that. I want to encourage you to be praying about what services you're going to attend, who you're going to invite. It's a great time of the year to do that. Will you pray as we continue in worship? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing on the World Mission Offering. We ask, Lord, that we'd see 100% participation in our church family across all of our campuses, Prosper, Espanol. Father, we pray for the gospel to go forward, Lord, in times that are so dark. And we know, Lord, as the days approach of the return of Jesus Christ, men will grow more evil, more hardened, more blind. So, Father, we know that the gospel is the only thing that can change the world. Guide our giving, guide our hearts, move our hands. Thank you for all the ministry of our church, Lord, throughout the year. And thank you for this special offering that we can give. God, as we look ahead to Gift of Christmas this Friday as it kicks off, and everyone who is working tirelessly to see the gospel go in this very challenging time of the year for many, the Christmas holidays, God, would you anoint us? Would you put your empowerment on us in every facet? Father, we pray today for your spirit to be upon Pastor Scott Turner as he preaches your word. Anoint him, Father. Fill him with your spirit. God, bless each and every one of us as we've come to worship. Strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our faith. Convict us where we need conviction. Minister to us, Lord, where we need to be ministered to. Father, we're here to hear from you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
You know this song? Sing joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth
sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
know this tune. Let's sing joyful, joyful.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun.
Sing joyful, joyful,
joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above.
We are a joyful people. Joyful people, we find our joy in Jesus. We sang earlier about being the redeemed. We said, let the redeemed of the Lord, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have started that relationship with him, you are the chosen, you are the redeemed, and you have been given joy. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with what? Joy. Not happiness, joy. There's a reason we don't sing much about happiness. It's not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just temporary. It's fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Joy is rooted in eternity. Anything that Jesus brings to the table is eternal. And there's something about his name, just saying his name, that brings joy. His name brings hope. His name brings life and love. His name brings peace. Sometimes it's just good to speak the name of Jesus, to sing the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Shine through the shadows, burn like light. cross over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name.
How many know that when you shout the name Jesus, everything has got to change? Amen. When you say that name, everything has got to move. Well, I'm Scott Turner, and along with Pastor Jeremiah, thank you. We greet you. We welcome you here to Prestonwood. It's such an honor to be with you. And how many know that God is on the move? Amen. Well, we want to continue on in our series that Pastor Jack Graham and our preaching team has been preaching and teaching, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And how many of y'all had a great Thanksgiving? Let me see. How many ate a lot? Be honest. How many still eating leftovers? Now, how many don't like leftovers? Tell me if you don't eat leftovers. Okay, y'all meet me at the altar. We're going to pray for your deliverance. That's the best part. Well, in our series, we are focusing on the conversations that Jesus has had with people in the scripture. And the title of today's message is Salvation Today. Just two words. Salvation Today. There's a sense of urgency that we'll see throughout this scripture when Jesus is engaging Zacchaeus. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 1 and go through verse 10. Luke 19, 1 through 10. And while you're turning there, I want to put some context around this. Because as I study Luke and I read, it's almost like a movie scene. Fast action, moving. And before Jesus enters into Jericho in Luke 19, Jesus is on the last days of his journey to Jerusalem, where he would ultimately give his life for the sins of all mankind and be crucified on Calvary's cross. And in Luke 18, 35 through 43, as Jesus is approaching the town of Jericho, he was drawn near to the city. He was still outside of the gate of the city, if you will. And there was a blind man there known as Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road behind people that were standing in front of him. And he said, "What is all this commotion? What is happening?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the people that were standing in front of him said, "Be quiet, Bartimaeus, silence, shut up." And the Bible says that Bartimaeus shouted all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus commanded them, "Bring him to me." And so when they brought Bartimaeus to Jesus, Jesus said, "What would you have me do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see. I want to recover my sight." And Jesus said, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Just one word from Jesus. And Bartimaeus was healed. He received his sight again. And not only that, he immediately followed Jesus. He glorified him. And all who witnessed this miracle of the blind begging man receive his sight again, the Bible says that they too glorified God. Now, all of this is happening outside of the gate of Jericho. Jesus is not even in the city yet, and it's already going down. This was like the pregame warm-up. The crowd is hyped. The crowd is encouraged. They're praising God. And now here we are. We pick up in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And it says, "He entered Jericho, and it was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was a small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be a guest in a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" Can we give amen to God's word? So in verse 1, Jesus was passing through Jericho. He was on his way, as we said before, to Jerusalem. And there's nothing that denotes that Jesus was preparing to stay in Jericho for any extended period of time. And the only thing we know a few things about Zacchaeus. We know his name. We know his job. We know his status and his stature. His name is a Hebrew name, which means pure. So we know because it's a Hebrew name that Zacchaeus is Jewish. His job, as we see, his title is chief tax collector. His status, he was rich. His stature, he was short. Small in stature, that's short. The average Jewish man during that time was about 5'2" or 5'3". Luke made a point to tell us that Zacchaeus was small in stature. And so that tells me as I read this that he was shorter than the average Jewish man of that time. So he was around about 5 feet or shorter. He was a little guy. But it also says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That means that not only was he the guy that took people's money, but he was a head honcho. He was the one who presided over the tax collectors. He was the one that received the collections and was the vehicle by which it was transmitted to the Roman government. Tax collectors had a practice called tax farming. And this is where tax collectors would make their profits. They would make extra money because they would get away with charging their victims extra. In essence, Zacchaeus and other tax collectors were turncoats. They were traitors. And Zacchaeus worked for the enemy, the Roman government, who was oppressive. How many know that Zacchaeus was not well respected? The Jewish people despised tax collectors. But interestingly enough, Luke also said that Zacchaeus was wealthy. And one may ask when you read this, why would he say that he was wealthy? Perhaps the evangelist Luke here, he thought it important to note that he was rich or wealthy because it's not common for a wealthy man to follow a poor, despised luminary or personality such as Jesus of Nazareth. Rich people didn't follow poor people. It was not common that God would call the rich or call the wealthy, but he mainly or chiefly would call the poor. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what was foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what was weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what was low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that human beings may not boast in the presence of God. How many know God will choose whom he may? In verse 3, we see that it says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. More specifically, he wanted to see what Jesus was about. There may be some of you here this morning that are also curious. What is this Jesus about? Zacchaeus here was probably saying, I've heard about this rabbi. I've heard about this prophet. He can heal you. He can restore you. He can redeem you. He can save you. He can set you free. He was curious about the one whom he's heard about so much. And in this case, and we'll see this later on in the message, his mere curiosity led to his conversion and ultimately the salvation for he and his whole house. I read a quote from Albert Barnes. It says, God makes use of every principle of curiosity or sympathy or affection or hope or fear to lead men in the way of salvation and to impress the truth on the minds of sinners. God will use whatever he must to lead you and to lead me to Jesus. Amen. What did he use in your life to bring you to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? What is he using today? Is it fear? Is it curiosity? Is it hope for a better way? What is he using in your life this morning? Luke pointed out that there was a number of people here. You can only imagine that by this time in Jesus' earthly ministry, after all the things that have taken place, including healing Bartimaeus just right outside the gate of Jericho, restoring him and healing him, there was a multitude gathered, throngs of people gathered in the city to see Jesus, who the Bible says was passing through. And I was reading this, and I want to point out something that stuck out to me. Jesus was walking amongst the crowd. He was with the multitude of people. And unlike earthly princes of that day, these guys used to be transported in carriages or palanquins that were held on the shoulders of men. They sought distinction, but not Jesus. In his earthly ministry, in his earthly presence, though he was royalty, he was 100% God and 100% man. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of Judah. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and yet he was with the people. Are you following me? It's a great lesson for all of us. Royalty or not, rich or poor or in between, to walk and to live in godly humility. He was God. But he didn't seek distinction. He was the Lion of Judah, but yet he walked with the people. He humbled himself even unto death, and death on the cross. But what about us? Do we seek distinction? Do we seek the admiration of men? Or do we walk in godly humility? We see in verse 4 that Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd. And he climbed in a sycamore tree. A couple of observations. Here is Zacchaeus, a man who was wealthy. He had the title. He had the position. He probably had a big house, fine clothes, ate the best food, drank the best wine of the day. But he was still longing for something. And I might add, it was undignified of a man of his stature and his wealth to run and then to climb in a tree. That would be an embarrassing, undignified moment. But there was something that was missing. There was an emptiness that I feel and see as I study in the soul of Zacchaeus, regardless of his earthly possessions. So he ran ahead to where Jesus was going. He anticipated, oh, Jesus is going that way. Let me meet him at that point. He had to work and get through that crowd. Remember, he was a little bitty man. There were throngs of people, but he worked through the crowd to go to meet Jesus where he was going. Are you headed in the same direction as Jesus? Are you going to meet him where he's going? Or are you headed this morning in a totally different direction than the Savior? I believe this is something for all of us to contemplate this morning. And the add is Zacchaeus, the Bible says he was short, so he had limitations. He couldn't see over the crowd, but he did what he had to do to accomplish what he needed to get done, to see Jesus for himself. These illustrations beg the question, is there an emptiness in your soul this morning? As you reflect during this holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, with all of the earthly possessions, with all of the blessings in your life, with the positions, the plaudits, the titles, is there still a void in your heart this morning? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God is the one who places eternity inside of the heart of every man. Jesus is the only one that could fill that space, that void in your heart. What about limitations? We all have limitations. But are you allowing your limitations to keep you from doing what you need to do? Do you have the same determination like Zacchaeus to see the Lord? I read a quote and it said this: if Zacchaeus had a small heart, he would have given up and not worked to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus had a great will to grow rich, and he had found there at that time a way to do that. And now he had a great will. His perspective changed. A great will to see Jesus. And he was not the sort of person to be stopped. How about you? Can you be stopped from seeking Jesus? There's many of you here this morning, online and in the room. You're extremely driven. What they call that, type A. You're extremely driven people, especially when it comes to your careers or your profession or your craft or your trade or even maybe your family. You don't let anything stand in the way of achieving your goals or meeting your numbers or achieving that which the world calls success. And there's something admirable to having a great work ethic and a strong determination and a drive if it's honest, if it's above reproach, if it honors God and has a proper perspective. But the question is this morning, do you have that same determination that you have for your job, your career, your family, that same drive when it comes to seeing or seeking after the Lord? Does it translate? Does it transfer? Are you that determined when it comes to seeking the Savior of the world? Do you have the same drive when it comes to spending time with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you compartmentalize your drive and your determination? Where are you this morning? That's a question that we all must answer. And you may say, well, Pastor Scott, my time is so limited. There's only 24 hours in a day. And I say this, reprioritize your schedule. I tried to be nice about it in my notes. I was scratching it out, but that's just the truth. Make time to spend time with Jesus. Can I get an amen from anybody? Get in his word. Fall on your knees in prayer. Fellowship with other believers. You may say, well, I have limitations. I was wounded by the church. I was wounded by other Christians and hurt. I'm disenfranchised. I'm bitter. Well, I encourage you, man and woman of God, don't let a hurt or a pain or an offense from the past keep you from seeing Jesus for yourself today. Amen? Don't let past pain, past hurt, past bitterness, past offenses keep you from your destiny and realizing your promise and your future in the Lord Jesus today. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 3? Not that I have already obtained this, or am I already perfect? But I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching to those things which are before me, I press on toward the mark or the goal for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing. Keep moving, keep seeking. We can all find ways and reasons and excuses not to seek or to see Jesus, but don't stop. Are you hearing me? Don't let anything keep you or hinder you. Not pride, not hurt, not pain, not arrogance, not fear. Look at Romans chapter 8, 37 and 39. It says, no. Everybody say no. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me, separate you, separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no excuse. There's not a limitation strong enough, big enough, bad enough to keep you from seeing Jesus. Zacchaeus Didn't let it stop him. What about us? Look at verse 5. In the midst of everything going on around Jesus, people following after him, pulling on him, calling his name, wanting him, all the chatter, all the clamor, all the movement. The scripture says that Jesus, he looked up and he saw this little man in the tree. He saw Zacchaeus. There's been a few times in my life when I've encountered people and talked about prayer and seeking God. And I've heard a few people say, God is too busy. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? He's too busy. He has a lot more important things going on than to be concerned about me and my little old situation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about God, the supreme ruler, who is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Who is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God, who is omnipresent, he is everywhere at one time. The Lord is never too busy. He's never too preoccupied. Man may be busy. Man may be preoccupied, but not God. Jesus Christ was on his way passing through Jericho to go to Jerusalem to face crucifixion, and yet he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. Don't you know that you are God's creation? Don't you know that he loves you more than anything in the world? And just like he saw Zacchaeus, Jesus sees you. Amen. When you seek after him, he will not ignore you. He's not going to ignore you. He sees you. He will bless you. And he will love you. Right where you are. Amen? And not only did Jesus look up and see Zacchaeus, but he called him by his name. Imagine being Zacchaeus in this moment. He was just saying, man, I just want to see him. I just want to get up in his tree so I can get a glimpse at him. Who is this prophet? Let me see this rabbi. I've been hearing so much about him and all this. Jesus called his name Zacchaeus. I bet he was so dumbfounded when he heard this that his name actually came out of the mouth of the Messiah. Now, Luke didn't tell us how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. And as I was studying, you know, some people say, well, maybe it's because Zacchaeus was popular because he was short or because he was hated. He was a tax collector and Jesus heard about him along the way. But some people, and I'm of this thought, say that Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name because of supernatural knowledge. He's God. He already knew him. He knew his name, and he called his name. But just like Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, Jesus knows you. You are not oblivious to God. You are not hidden from him. He knows you. He knows your name. He created you. He loves you. James 4:14 says that our life is like a vapor here for a little while and then gone away. You and I, we're like specks. We're like a grain of sand in the universe. But Jesus, in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, in all of his majesty, knows exactly who you are. Amen. The question is, do you know him for yourself? Psalm 8:4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? Jesus told Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry up. Anybody ever said that to your kids? Or to your wifey? Or your husband? My wife tells me that all the time. Hurry up, boy. But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Here it is. Jesus was on an earthly mission, but he had with a heavenly calling. There was no time to waste. Jesus knew that his time was drawing near. He said, I must stay at your house today. Imagine what Zacchaeus was thinking when Jesus said, I must stay at your house today. He probably was like, me? I'm not a good man. I'm a deceiver. I'm a sinner. I'm a thief. I'm a crook. My house, Lord? And we know that Jesus, in his sovereignty, he already knew the character of the man that he was calling out of that tree, yet he went anyway. Why? Because Jesus was always about kingdom purposes. If Jesus told you today, I must stay at your house, would you receive him? If he called your name, I said, I'm coming over your house today, would you welcome him? Or would you be one and say, oh, Jesus, hold on. Hold on. Let me get my house in order. Let me get my life together first. Let me get my sins together. No. It's right now. Today. Would you receive him? Rich, poor, married, single, divorced, backsliding, committed, new believer, still lost and seeking. Would you receive Jesus if he called you today? Jesus desires a personal relationship with you. He desires that you know him as your Lord and your Savior. Are you ready? In verse 6, at the command of Jesus, Zacchaeus hurried up and came down out of that tree. He obeyed God immediately. He didn't waste time contemplating or scheming or trying to figure out if he should go or not. Church, delayed obedience is disobedience. When the Lord tells us to do something, we must hurry up and obey him. Don't waste time. Jesus is calling. He's prompting you. Even this morning, some of you, the Holy Spirit of God is prompting you, tugging at your heart. Will you answer him and obey? It says that Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. He received the person, Jesus. Not just the doctrine, not just the theory, but Jesus himself. He received him, and then he developed a relationship, albeit quick, a relationship with him. And this is a great reminder for you and I, and a challenge to us to always receive the Lord Jesus with a spirit of joy and a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, and to nurture our relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. I read this thing from a group called Enduring Word regarding this particular verse. It says, Zacchaeus is a model to everyone of how to receive Jesus. Receive Jesus by seeking after him with real effort. Receive Jesus by humbling yourself. Receive Jesus no matter how sinful or hated you are. Receive Jesus as he invites you by name. Receive Jesus without delay. Receive Jesus by coming down to him. Receive Jesus himself. Receive Jesus into your life, your home. Receive Jesus joyfully. Receive Jesus despite what others say. Receive Jesus with repentance and restitution. Receive him. He's Lord. And he's Savior. In verse 7 and 8, it says the people were grumbling and complaining. The religious leaders and everyone else. And I can hear them now as I was reading, I can hear them saying, how in the world could Jesus go and be a guest in the house of this man, of this sinner? This repulsive man, he's a chief tax collector. He's a crook. He's an oppressor. And the thought here is that if you went to stay in a house of a sinner such as this, that you too were engaging in the same sins as him. That was the thought. But you know, I was thinking to myself, we do the same thing today. Y'all quiet. We see people getting blessed that we think ought not to be blessed, as if that's our decision. We say, Lord, do you know what they do? Do you really know who she is? Do you know what that dude has done? Here I am over here going to church every Sunday, Bible study, Sunday school. Read my Bible, trying to do right by you. I don't seem to be getting blessed like that. What is going on? Now, I know nobody in here this morning is like that. That's just me. Be careful. Don't get caught up in how God is moving and working in the lives of other people. Unless the Holy Spirit of God is inviting you to join in the work that he's doing there. Your job, your number one priority is to continue to build your relationship with Jesus, to keep your heart right before the Lord, to keep your eyes stayed on him. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus did not teach Zacchaeus by going to his house that character was of no consequence. On the contrary, Zacchaeus perceived at once that character was of the greatest consequence. And so he stood forth and said, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And as you read this story, it seems as if Zacchaeus didn't get to spend very much time with Jesus, but he immediately recognized that Jesus is Lord. This was a fast-moving scene. Jesus looked up. Zacchaeus came down. He received Jesus with joy. He was convicted by his presence, convicted by his love for him. And immediately, Zacchaeus was transformed. And this was more than just an intellectual head knowledge acknowledgement of Jesus. Zacchaeus followed up with action. He gave half of his wealth to the poor. And then he confessed, and by previous actions, he promised to repay everybody he stole from fourfold. Now, Jewish law said that if you stole and you confess, you only had to return that which you stole and add a fifth to its value. But Zacchaeus was one who was caught, convicted by law, and repaid fourfold of his value to those whom he stole from. This was a sign of confession. It was a sign of the evidence of the sincerity of repentance in Zacchaeus' heart. For with the heart, we believe and are justified. And with the mouth, we are saved. Amen? This is a great challenge for all of us. There must be fruit along with repentance. We can't just have a head knowledge of Jesus as Lord. We have to have a faith and action. We have to have fruit in our life that shows that we are 100% sold out to Jesus, sold out to his way, sold out to his word. We must be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and totally surrendered to the Lord, not just in word, but in deed. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, For the eyes of the Lord are running throughout the earth to find somebody whose heart is completely committed or surrendered to him. When the eyes of the Lord are fixed on you, can he say that about you? Oh, there he is, there she is, their heart is completely surrendered and committed to me. I can show myself strong in them. Oh, when the eyes of the Lord are fixed on you, what does he say? Oh, you know what? They're not there yet. They serve me sometimes. They got a good head knowledge. In public, they're the greatest Christian, but in private, no, not yet. Are you surrendered to the Lord today? And closing out the scripture in verse 9 and 10, Zacchaeus, because of his confession and his repentant heart. Jesus said, today salvation has come to your house, to your family. Everything about this story seems improbable. It seems impossible that Jesus would go to the home of a tax collector, chief tax collector, that Zacchaeus would give away half of his fortune, that he would get saved, that Zacchaeus' family would come to know the Lord. But Jesus came. He saw him. He called him. He stayed with him, and he blessed him. And I believe, as I study this, that Jesus, in this final story on his journey to Jerusalem, that he purposefully and specifically went to Jericho to see and to call and to save Zacchaeus' church family. Jesus would do the same for you and I today. If it's only you, woman of God, if it's only you, man of God, Jesus would come to see you, to call you, to save you, and to bless you. Do you believe it today? Hallelujah. Yes, he will. He's a good, good father. He'll call you. In 1995, I was a rookie at the Washington Redskins. That's who I played for, the Washington Redskins. I don't know who the Commanders are. I played for the Redskins. Come on, somebody. And I was standing on the sideline. See, we have a saying in the NFL, says you're only one play away. One play away from getting in the game. And I was a rookie standing on the sideline, physically and mentally prepared to do my job. I was a 7th round draft pick, so I was the last draft pick of the draft for that team. Here is the, that's all right, I was drafted pick number 226, let's go. But anyway, come on, somebody. I'm standing on the sideline. We're playing the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, I'm old. And I'm standing there and I'm getting ready for the game. I'm ready physically, mentally. But we had a future Hall of Famer that was on one corner and a first round draft pick on the other corner. So I'm just going to play special teams. I know I'm not going in for defense. We got two superstars, but you're just one play away. And so the game started. And wouldn't you know it, the first defensive series, one of the corners got hurt. And I'm standing there on the sideline. My eyes are this big. I know he's not finna call my name. And all I hear, North Turner, the head coach, Scotty, you're in. How many know I ran as fast as I could, as scared as I was to get on that field? North called my name. I said yes, and I went in. And I stayed in for 9 years. And God blessed my career. Well, in March of 1984, at the age of 13, Jesus called my name at Mount Pisgah Missionary Baptist Church. And I said yes, and I went in. And I'm 50 today, and I'm still in the game because you're only one play away. Come on. How many ready to go in? Jesus is calling your name. Are you ready? He's calling to play today. Get off the sideline. Get in the game. And stay in until he calls you home. Verse 10 said that he came to seek and to save the lost. How many know Jesus was about his Father's business? Where are you today? Let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. Do you know Jesus for yourself? Is he the Lord and the Savior of your life? Just like Zacchaeus, he called his name. He knew him. He saved him. Jesus is calling today. If you don't know Jesus for yourself, the Bible says today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Look at what's going on in the world and the culture today. No time to waste. Creation is longing. People are hurting. Some of you may even be in here this morning. Well, guess what? The altar of the Lord is open. He will receive you. Will you answer the call? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus desires for you to know him as Lord and Savior. Our pastors are going to be down here upstairs to receive you. If you want to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning, this is your time. Come. We welcome you. I will come get you if I have to. Today is your day. Maybe you want to join the church. We would love to have you as a participating member, servant of the Lord, not as a number, but as a soldier in the army of God. Come. If God is calling you to join the church, we welcome you. Maybe you need to get baptized. We're going to baptize in the next service in believer's baptism. Maybe you say, I'm saved. You know, I accept the Lord as Savior Jesus Christ, but I haven't been baptized. Come. We would love to baptize you and join in that with you. Whatever it is that the Lord is calling you today, answer the call. Your family is here. We're with you. Will you come? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of decision. Father, we pray you would bring those that are here, Father, that you are calling. We bind the enemy from keeping anyone from coming to answer your name, to answer your call, Father, to accept you as Lord and Savior, to join this body, Father, to be baptized. Lord Jesus, the invitation has been extended. Have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.